Welcome to season four of your Next Mission video podcast. Today we're focusing on leadership and how one individual is making a difference in the lives of our veterans and families. Lieutenant Colonel retired Scott Mann joins us to talk about his vision of building a tribe of leaders so our children can have a better and braver future. He also talks about how storytelling helps our veterans and families find their voice as they transition out of the service. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present in your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as I always say, we love them too. We have a great show today, focused on leadership and taking care of our veteran community. And I'm so excited to introduce Lieutenant Colonel retired Scott Mann. I love this, Green Beret, keynote speaker, leadership coach, and founder of Rooftop Leadership and the Hero's Journey. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so much for retirement, Sergeant Major.
It's always about timing. Hey, look, I know our audience is really eager to hear about all the stuff. I certainly am, hear about all the stuff that you're doing. But before we do that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Sergeant Major. I spent about 23 years in the United States Army, just under that, and around 18 of that as a U.S. Army Special Forces officer, Green Beret, in 7th Special Forces Group. And most of my time was in Central and South America before 9/11. And then after 9/11, I spent most of my time in Afghanistan or getting ready to go back, like a lot of your listeners. And what I would say is that the only other thing is that it's being a Green Beret is something I wanted to do since I was a 14-year-old kid, growing up in a little logging town in Mount Ida, Arkansas. And after a couple of decades of doing that, it was better than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah, well, God bless you for all you do and all you continue to do. Sir, your mission, the Heroes of Journey, is to help our warriors find their voice. Why is that so important, and how does the Heroes of Journey help?
Well, for me, I had a great opportunity to pursue as a Green Beret what I had dreamed about doing as a little kid. And I know a lot of people who serve in the military, they say something like that, that they knew that that's what they wanted to do when they were young, and then they got the chance to do it. And that was true for me. It even in the longest war in our history, my worst day in Special Forces was still an amazing day. Yeah. And something that I was very grateful for. But when I left the military, I decided to leave the military when I was a lieutenant colonel. And I retired. And I have to say that my transition from the military was not great. It did not go the way that I thought it would go. Now, everything was lined up pretty good. I mean, I had a job as a contractor lined up. I had a book that I was going to write about Afghanistan village stability operations that we had done working with tribal leaders. My family was still intact. I had 3 boys still in school. My wife and I were happily married. I mean, everything really was the way it was supposed to be, or what you would hope it is when you retire. But I will tell you, Sergeant Major, after about 72 hours of taking off those desert boots and putting on my Tampa Bay flip-flops, the snakes in the head started to crawl pretty hard for me. And very quickly, I found myself separated from my identity, a real lack of purpose in what I was doing. I'd gone from the top of my game as a Green Beret to, you know, padding around my house, not having showered for a couple of weeks, just really kind of a miserable human and not sure why. My boys would get up and leave the room if they saw me coming, because they didn't know what version of dad they were going to get that day. And it wasn't too long after that I found myself standing in a closet holding a 45. And had it not been for my son coming home when he did, my son Cooper, I don't think I'd be here. I know I would. Yeah. And that was a dark, dark moment for me. It was an embarrassing moment. It was a scar for me that I didn't tell my family about for years until finally it got to a point that I'd lost so many buddies to suicide that I needed to talk about it. But I think to answer your question with that background in mind, I was fortunate enough to meet a couple of mentors. One of them was a former NFL football player named Bo, who showed me how you can use storytelling to actually heal the brain, heal the soul, and to bridge gaps that no other form of communication can do. And I fell in love with it. When I saw this guy speak from the stage, I knew immediately that that's what I wanted to do. And it had such a profound effect on my family and on me, storytelling, that my wife and I decided to open a nonprofit called The Hero's Journey that could help other warriors and their families find their voice and tell their story.
Yeah, that was a question I was just going to ask you. How did you work through it? But I want to go back a little bit here. It's just for you here, for all of us, when we get out of the service, it's a culture shock. And I went through the same thing. I didn't put a gun to my head or nothing, but I don't know when you get out of the service if you ever really adjust, because you're not with people that you've been with for so many years, and it's just so much different. And it takes a long time to fit in. So I've been, you know, I think all of us, and that's why the suicide rate in the veteran community is so high. That's why all of us have a hard time just sort of adjusting. And really the worst thing, I'm glad you're out doing a lot of stuff. The worst thing about it is when you sit on a couch and don't do anything. And I think what you do is you sit there and try to figure out, you know, how you're going to die. But that's a big thing. You already talked about the hero's journey led to writing and performing a play, Last Out, the elegy of Green Beret. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I can. What I found was this love of storytelling, Sergeant Major. And I got, you know, like a lot of professionals when, you know, in the military, when we fall in love with something or we see a passion, you know, we just go after it. And yeah, that's what I did with storytelling. I studied storytelling professionally under different storytellers, under academics, even under tribal leaders and neuroscientists. And what I learned was staggering, was that, you know, humans are meaning seeking creatures. Like we navigate the world looking for meaning. And when we leave the military, as you said, it's like changing planets. And yeah, so there's an absence of meaning and purpose. And what storytelling does is storytelling is a sense-making tool. It allows us to make sense of things that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 70,000 years. We've been telling stories to reintegrate warriors back into the tribe. And for some reason, we don't do it in the United States. We live in this transactional, short-form PowerPoint society. And we've conditioned our warriors somehow inadvertently to think that, okay, I'm a quiet professional, so I don't tell my story. And that to me is they're not even the same thing. So when I really got into the storytelling and I started speaking from the stage, both in for-profit and nonprofit, I saw very quickly that I could talk about the most uncomfortable things. I could talk about mental health, veteran suicide.
Yeah.
I could talk about any aspect of war, but as long as I was telling stories, it could bridge that civil military gap. So when my oldest son told me he was going to join the Army, he was going to go SF, this was when the war in Afghanistan was still going. It really bothered me that so many Americans didn't have a clue that our war fighters were still in the fight. And you know, you see all the movies and the books about the first in, but nobody ever talks about the last out. Green Beret or not, we've got men and women that went back to combat 10, 11, 12 times, and no one ever hears their story. No one hears the story about the families and the kids and what they endured day after day, month after month, year after year. So my mentor, the guy I was telling you about, Bo, the football player, he wrote a play about being an NFL player called Runt of the Litter. He grew up on a farm, him and his brother. You may have remembered him, Bo East, and he played for the Oilers in the 80s, and his brother Tony played for the Patriots. He was a quarterback. But anyway, you know, he did this play about the war or about football, and it really helped people understand his journey. And he's always been after me to write a play. He said, you know, just write the story down. Even if it never sees the light of day, it'll heal you. So I wrote this thing down with the intention that it would never see the light of day. I performed a scene or two at a little community theater, and everybody in the audience just, they loved it. And they were so moved by it. And I think it opened so many civilians' eyes to hear this kind of story about war that you just don't see in the movies. And so we decided, my wife and I, to complete the midlife crisis, and I would learn how to act at age 50. And we put this play together and took it around the country.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, when I used to go out and give a lot of speeches. I don't do many anymore, but I'd always, one of the things I did the first time I gave a speech it was about 4,000 people up in D.C. one time. First time I ever did that as a Sergeant Major of the Army. And I got up and they had a big screen behind me, and I went out, rehearsed. I mean, I only had to talk for about 4 or 5 minutes. And I was set. And it was me and then I think Secretary of the Army, and then the Chief had to talk. And I went out there, and all of a sudden, there's cameras in my face. I can't see the audience. I can't see anybody. And so I just sort of read the speech. And it probably came off all right. When I came down, the public affairs officer said, "Hey, Sergeant Major, great job. Can I tell you something, though?" I said, "What's that?" "Nobody wants to hear you read a speech. What they want to hear is a story about who you are and what you're doing." Because people relate to stories. I often tell a story about I was overran in Vietnam, and there was 20 wounded and 7 killed. And I talk about how that had affected me, even today, how that affects me. So it's important. I think storytelling is the way to go. And you can get people's interest in it anyway. You said in our prep call, you feel our veteran community is in front of at the end of mental health tsunami. I happen to agree with you. Would you tell me, you know, why you feel that way?
Well, I think we've been heading that way for a while. I mean, and, you know, first of all, you know this better than anybody. War is a corrosive machine.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how tough you are, how hard you are. If you stay in that environment, it has a corrosive, caustic effect on your brain, yeah, on your soul. And, you know, ultimately, it's going to have its way with you if you don't find ways to metabolize the trauma and the elements that come with combat. And I believe that because such a small population fought in the war on terror, similar to how your generation of war fighters in Vietnam were treated when you came home, you know, you shouldered this massive load, and then all of a sudden you're on this new planet and everybody's just turned the page.
Yeah.
Everybody's just turned the page. And so everything that you thought you knew about the world has changed.
Yeah.
And it look around and a population that you really rely upon to reintegrate to, they've moved on. Yeah. And I testified to the House Foreign Affairs Committee after Afghanistan that I believe that the way we ended that war, the way that we turned the page on 800,000 plus veterans and our families, created a tsunami of veteran mental health, frankly, of moral injury, a violation in many ways of our moral code. That if unless we address it, unless we stand up as a society and address this, I believe we are on the front end of a mental health tsunami that is going to manifest in some very, very terrible ways. And as evidence of that, even after I made that testimony, the VA suicide hotline received 88,000 calls in the month of March. It's the most on record, more than COVID, more than the day Kabul fell. And it's growing every month. And a big part of it is that we have not reintegrated our veteran population, particularly the post 9/11 veteran population, you know, back into our communities. They're severely isolated. And I believe that it's going to take the kind of podcast like what you're doing and other platforms, our play. It's going to be us that are going to have to lead this charge. I don't think anybody else is coming. I think we're going to have to step in and bring our brothers and sisters home, and that's okay. But I think that the sooner we recognize what we're up against, then we can actually start to make some moves against it. And time's not on our side.
Yeah. I think the big thing they got to do is, and like I said, I'll tell you a minute, I was overran. One of the things I do, and it's, I don't know why I do it. I sometimes I just talk a lot about it. And I try to get it off my chest. I didn't realize it. The other thing is I surround myself with mind-like people, you know, and other veterans that are around me. I own a small company, and all the guys in the company are veterans, except for the accountant. But we all talk about military stuff, and it's sort of a therapy with all the time we talk. So it's a big deal, and what you're doing is so important. Sir, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel retired Scott Mann, Green Beret, keynote speaker, leadership coach and founder of Rooftop Leadership and the Hero's Journey. and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because we're talking to a person that's been there, got that, and even got the T-shirt, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all our upcoming video podcasts. Sir, during this segment, I'd like to talk about the power of human connection and how you're empowering leaders and in the veteran community to bridge that civilian gap, that military gap. I think that's really important.
Yes, it is, Sergeant Major. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, in Special Forces, one of the things that I had the opportunity to do that I'm really grateful for is we did a lot of work in undergoverned spaces with very, very folks that were very different than us and building relationships and actually getting into the art and the science of how to build relationships. And what is it that really makes a relationship happen? And why do we do that? And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life because I got to work with social scientists, anthropologists, dispute resolution experts, negotiators, and really get my head around the fact that even in these modern times that we live in, especially in these modern times that we live in this mechanistic, fast-paced rat race of a world that we're in, it turns out that we're just well-dressed Neanderthals. We have not changed much at all in several hundred thousand years. And the more I call it getting below the waterline, if human nature is an iceberg, the tip of the iceberg is the modern world and below the waterline is this ancient creature, this meaning-seeking, emotional, social storyteller who struggles. In other words, we're a mess. And, you know, human connection is not just something we do casually. It's our superpower. We don't have fur, fangs, or claws. We navigate the world building teams at a semi-conscious level, and our biology is designed for it. And what I tell veterans and military family members as they're transitioning, no matter what you're going to do with your life, no matter where you're going to go, you know, it's imperative that you bring forward those values and skills that you learned in the military and your ability to build relationships and make connections, because it is such a competitive advantage in a world that's based on individuals and transactions. You know, if you're somebody that's good at relationships, good at human connections, and you're intentional about it, you're going to own every room you walk into.
Yeah.
Whether that's a job interview or whether that's, you know, talking to your travel ball team that you're coaching. It's a very, very powerful tool that I think a lot of times we don't pay as much attention to as we should in transition. So we're really trying to change that.
Yeah, you know, I think you hit a lot of great points, but I think listening and being a good communicator. The other thing I tell you is those nonverbal movements that people make, you know, making eye contact, doing all that stuff to make sure you're engaged with that person you're talking to. I couldn't agree with you more.
That's a great point. And, you know, I don't know, I'm gonna pick the computer up here and show you, but you see behind me down there, that's our stage where we do the play. And, you know, one of the things we've learned, Sergeant Major, mm-hmm. in doing this play, because it is, it's a very, very high impact show about combat and moving through it. And so all of the actors are veterans, combat veterans.
Yeah.
So we're going through this and there's things that come up for us emotionally in the show. And we kind of get jammed up as we're doing it, just like we do in life. And what we've learned through the craft of performance is how to use breath work, for example.
Yeah.
You know, the nonverbal stuff you're talking about. What happens to us when, particularly as veterans, when we get into a situation that lights us up or triggers us, you know, we go into that sympathetic state that mirrors what we had to do to survive.
Yeah.
Except now we're in a situation where a lot of times it's not the appropriate state to be in. It's a hyper aroused state. So what we've learned in the cast, and you know what we're doing a lot in our workshops now to show people, is that diaphragmatic breathing is one of the most important tools we have as veterans coming back into civil society. Because when you do 3 to 5 belly breaths,
yeah,
you can drop from a sympathetic state to a parasympathetic state in like 3 seconds. And now you've gone from fight, flight, or freeze to calm and connect. And in that moment, when you have to have a hard conversation with an emotional employee or your teenager that's been bullied or your spouse, you know, rather than going high order, we can use diaphragmatic breathing to just drop into a state. And as you said, that's just one of many interpersonal skills that we can continue to put in our rucksack. And I think the more we can do that, the more we're going to be relevant here at home, because, you know, things are kind of a mess here at home right now in terms of how we're divided as a society. And we really need veterans leading us.
Yeah.
But it's going to be those interpersonal skills, how we lead ourselves, how we lead others in this new planet.
Yeah,
that are going to determine whether or not we can do that.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of really great points there. I'm thinking, talking about myself now. There's, when I say certain things or talk about certain things, I tear up, and I can't. I've been doing it for years, and I just, a lot of times it's hard for me to get through whatever the heck I'm talking about. And you know, I've tried to do. Usually, when I was giving a speech and I did that, I'd change the subject and I'd just go into something else, and it was made a lot easier. But I think as you get a little bit older, it's tougher to get through that stuff because I think you start thinking more and more about the things that you've seen and yeah.
Can I offer something to that, Sergeant Major?
Sure, go ahead.
Really good point. And first of all, I appreciate the fact that you said that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they look at the Sergeant Major of the Army and they go, well, that guy can handle anything. He's been through all this. He doesn't get emotional, right? And the so what happens is, you know, that young NCO or officer who's now out of the military, they look at themselves and they're getting emotional and they're judging themselves going, I shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
I'm weak.
Yeah.
And the reality is, in all of my work that I've done on human connection, I've done a lot of work on neuroscience and studying this and the human operating system.
Yeah.
And the reality is we're emotional creatures.
Yeah.
We are supposed to have emotional access. Now that doesn't mean we sit around and bawl our eyes out and dump on our audience whenever we talk about something. However, you know, what I tell storytellers and speakers, someone like yourself who's been scuffed up in your life and who have led men and women into combat, there are things you're going to talk about. And if I was coaching you as a storyteller, I'd say, when those tears come, plug into the wall socket and let them.
Yeah.
Don't try to block them. Just take a big breath and continue, because typically emotions only last for 60 to 90 seconds in a highly aroused state. And if you just take a step to the left or right, it'll dissipate it in 10 seconds. But the larger point is, when you have access to your emotions like that, it informs the story. The audience listens autobiographically and they don't go, well, man, Sergeant Major's really weak. Look at him crying. No, what they do is they lean in and they root for you.
Yeah.
They locate themselves in your story and they root for you because they can see that it matters. You're relatable to them. And we need more of that, not less of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I've given up, like I said, a ton of speeches around. And there's certain parts of this speech I'll talk about how, you know, I was overran, how things affect my life. And I do tear up. And you're really right. The audience, you just engage them so much and they're looking right at you. And But it's again, it's tough, but it's as I get a little bit older, it's probably a little bit tougher too. The other thing I think is important too, it's probably a stress reliever for me too. It allows me to, you know, whatever stress I have, just to release it and let it go. But sometimes
100%.
Yeah,
100% for a major. And the thing is, like, the body stores, you know, it stores trauma, it stores tension, it stores stress. And when we storytell and we have access to our emotions, it metabolizes. The body knows what it's doing. You know, 70,000 years ago, if you and I were in a tribe that killed a saber-toothed tiger and we got all scuffed up from that, we'd go back to the cave, we'd bury our dead, we'd tend to our wounded, we'd sit around a fire, we'd cook some food, and we'd tell stories about that day's battle and what we learned from it. And we would get emotional and we would weep and mourn. And in doing so, you individually and collectively metabolize the trauma and the stress, and the emotional load is redistributed from the three dudes that held the spears to the rest of the tribe.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we need in America today. We need to redistribute the emotional load onto the entire community.
Yeah.
And the way we do that is through storytelling.
Yeah. Real quick, I'm going to say one thing. We're going to take a break. One of the things I wish we could do, you know, the small percentage of our country serve in the military, and they have no earthly idea about the commitment that they have and the things that are going. Sir, this is a great discussion. Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break here. We got a lot more to talk about, so don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. earn a degree you can be proud of, and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at purdueglobal.edu. USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant Colonel retired Scott Mann, Green Beret, keynote speaker, leadership coach, and founder of Rooftop Leadership and the Hero's Journey. I want all of viewers to reach out to me directly. Tell us what topics you'd like to cover. I always tell you this is not my show, this is our show. Tell us what you want us to talk about anyway. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. I will reach out to you. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Sir, we're heading into our final segment today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've. I really enjoyed this. I have just a couple more questions. One is that I'm going to make sure that I don't forget now, you wrote a book. I got it right here. Operation Pineapple Express, about an operation that took place in the middle of chaos and withdrawal from Afghanistan. I think audience would be interested to hear a little bit about that story.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant Major. I mean, honestly, it was an effort that was mirrored by a lot of other active duty, National Guard, Army Reserve, and of course, retired and separated veterans. And it all stemmed around the way we left Afghanistan. And frankly, the systemic abandonment of our allies that we had fought with for 20 years. For me, it started with one buddy who was a commando and Afghan Special Forces NCO and a U.S. trained Green Beret named Nizam, who I had known since 2010. He was hiding in his uncle's house like Anne Frank, and he was on the run, and he reached out because nobody else was coming and he needed help. So a handful of us got together using our cell phones and our relationships, and we were able to help Nizam get through the city, get through the crowd, and ultimately to safety in the United States. But what it started was a larger movement of volunteers who ultimately moved close to 1,000 Afghan commandos and other special operators and their families through a sewage canal and a 4-foot hole in the fence and then into the waiting arms of the White Devils from the 82nd Airborne. And it was, to me, Sergeant Major, it was the ultimate model of Army for Life, Special Operations for Life, working hand in glove with younger veterans who were looking at this sea of faces. And for a range of reasons, they didn't know who was vetted and who was, right, or who wasn't. And we did. We knew who they were. We knew what they did, and they trusted us. So we could move them up to these different places and present them responsibly to these young troopers on the wire, and they could pull them in. And that was essentially what this book is about. I wrote it in the third person. It's not my memoir. It's not this one time at band camp. It's not look at the great stuff I did, because frankly, there were people in that book that did a heck of a lot more than me. I just took good notes. And it was an honor to tell the story, not just of the veterans that stepped up, but frankly, our Afghan partners and their families. The two questions I asked throughout this book, Sergeant Major, that I think the readers will really, and your listeners will enjoy, is what does a promise mean to you? And how far would you go to honor it? And when you read that book and you see what our veterans thought about a promise and how far they went to honor it, it's something that still humbles me to this day. And it was gutting to write it, but I'm glad I had the chance to do it.
No, you got to tell your story. You got to get the truth out there and let people know exactly what's going on. Going back to Afghanistan, I don't know. Do you ever know Sergeant Major of the Army, Roshan? I don't know if I asked you this story. Yeah. Roshan, when he was getting ready to leave Afghanistan, they captured him, and they took him off. They probably was going to kill him. He ended up killing the people that captured him and got back to the U.S. So he had 10 or 11 kids, and one of his children was killed in a stampede when they was at the airport down there. It's so sad. But and the worst thing about it, he came back to Afghanistan. He came back to the United States of America, it was like us getting out of the service. It's a culture shock. Where does he live? What does he do? And I think I think he's driving a heister in a plant or something now, which is such a shame.
Right. Yeah, so. yeah, it Well said, Sergeant Major. And what I tell people now is, you know, I wrote that book to help to tell a part of the story that I don't think the media and our politicians told. And frankly, I can't tell you how many active duty people have come up to me who you know, surreptitiously worked to get their own partners out or rooted for veterans when they did. And they've said, thank you for giving us a voice and for telling our story, because we can't, you know, we can't elevate that while we're on active duty. And so that's been very humbling. But the other thing I'll say is the play Last Out, bringing it full circle. I tell folks, like, if you want to know why Pineapple Express was necessary in the first place, you know, come see this play. Because it leads up to the collapse, and it shows you a very intimate view through the eyes of one sergeant and his family in the longest war in our history, what it means to serve in modern war. And that is something that civilians need to know more about, and our veterans and their families need to know that it mattered that they did it.
Well, that's a perfect lead into my next question. Where can they see the play? Where can somebody, you know, how can they get a ticket or go to see the play?
Well, you know, we're halfway through the tour right now, Sergeant Major. I'm filming this from Sioux Falls, and we're doing this one at the end of July. If people go to lastoutplay.com, you can see all of our tour stops listed there. We're going to go all the way up until December. So we're going to be in Nashville in August. We're going to be in Milwaukee in September, Topeka in October, and Tampa. And I think you're going to come to a show there in December. And that will be my last performance. I'm a 55-year-old dude trying to play a 41-year-old team sergeant. And my acting chops are coming to a close on this one. We will try to keep the play running. But if people want to see this all-veteran cast in its entirety now, they need to get out to one of those shows before 2024.
Can they get tickets online on the website you just talked about? Can they get tickets? Yeah,
absolutely, Sergeant Major. And it's free for veterans. It's free for first responders. It's free for military family members. And because Gary Sinise is so generous in helping us tour right now, all proceeds go to the Gary Sinise Foundation. So it's just a win-win all around.
Oh, absolutely. And how, if anybody needs to reach out to you, how do they get a hold of you? Is there something, I mean, you know, is there a website or something?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to learn more about the play, if you want to check out a couple of the TED Talks that I've done or learn more about storytelling or my podcast on human connection, you can go to scottmann.com. That's two N's. And then also, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, and I tell anybody, if you're hurting, DM me on LinkedIn. If you're going through something, please don't go through it alone. Our nonprofit has counselors and interventionists, and hell, call me. We'll get on a phone and talk, because at the end of the day, none of us who served or our family should have to go through this alone. And so scottmann.com, if you want to dial into what we're doing, lastoutplay.com, if you want to see where the play is. And then of course I'm on LinkedIn if anybody needs to reach me.
Are you connected with me on LinkedIn? You should be.
Well, by gosh, we will be as soon as this is done.
All right. Hey, first of all, let me say thanks a lot for being on the show. This is a wealth of, and what you're doing is so important. And I'm really a firm believer about storytelling. I mean, tell your story. And in fact, one last thing I'll tell you, when I was working in the Pentagon, I used to tell all the people up there, I said, one of the problems we have in the military, and I'm talking specifically the Army right there, was we don't tell people what we're doing. We keep it to ourselves. We do a lot of stuff all over the world, and we always got people deployed, and there's a lot of things going on, but we don't tell people. So, you know, how can they support us if they don't know what we're doing? You know, we're just out there by ourselves.
That's right, Sergeant Major.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Anything maybe you want to share with the audience that maybe you missed?
You know, people need to hear your story, just like you said, both individually and collectively. And the two greatest stories a veteran has, believe it or not, is the second greatest one is the story you don't want to tell anybody else. And the greatest story you have is the story you don't want to tell yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's where most people live these days. Yeah. They live in that world of struggle. They live in a world where they're up against something and they don't know what to do. And when a veteran has the courage, like you have, Sergeant Major, to talk about those dark moments in your life and how you changed and what you learned, it makes you immediately relatable to the other party. And they locate themselves in that story and they see what's possible for their own life. Their brain gets new patterns. And that's what storytelling's done for 70,000 years. So if you're sitting around thinking you don't have a story to tell or it's not good enough, that's just resistance keeping you out of the fight, and people need your story more than ever.
You know, I got so many stories being an old guy right here. There's a whole lot of stories I don't want to tell anybody. but you're really right. You sort of go into a shell sometimes, and you just don't want to, You just don't want to say, and it's really hard because you say, damn, nobody gets it, you know? So it makes it tough. It makes it really tough. Yeah. First, again, thank you for what you're doing. You're making a difference. I tell people all day, it doesn't matter if you help one person, you're making a difference. That's for sure. Yep. But you're helping a lot more than that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Sergeant Major, to your point, the ultimate relevance, I think, for a veteran in transition, as you say, your next mission, the ultimate metric is relevance. Yeah. And if you're relevant to one person, you're right where you need to be.
Absolutely. God bless you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sergeant Major.
Thanks to Lieutenant Colonel retired Scott Mann for, you know, being with us today. Yeah, it was just, he had a great story and great information for all of us. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, and thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. You can also visit our nonprofit and corporate partners there, where you can see all the jobs and services that are available to assist you in your transition from the military. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. Just like Colonel Mann said, you're not by yourself. Please know we're here for you. We want to help you any way we can. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you enjoyed the discussion with Lieutenant Colonel Mann, please like us, click on that subscribe button below. Also, don't forget to click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. We want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant Colonel retired Scott Mann for joining us today. It was just great having him on the show. And at this point of the show, I always get to talk about my final thoughts. And I think Colonel Mann hit it right on top of the head. Talk, communicate, listen, but tell your story. Tell the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let people know the kind of sacrifices that you go through. Now, whether or not it was good or bad, people need to know your struggles. And again, don't think that you're alone. There's a lot of people out there that certainly love you. I always tell people, I love you, but I'm just not going to give you no money. But they'll help you, and they'll do whatever they can to help you. So God bless you for listening to us today. And if you're in Nashville area, please go to see Lieutenant Colonel Mann, last out LRG of the Green Beret on August 25th or 26th at the Franklin Theater. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.